Hey, New Patient Group Nation, welcome inside the broadcast booth. Brian right here, and welcome to Season 3, Episode number 7. Got a good one for you today. You know, it's so amazing, and if you're an avid listener to this podcast, a client of New Patient Group from other company, Right Chat, obviously you hear us talk about these things a lot, but today's a really cool one. I've been wanting to do a podcast about what I believe the future of the practice looks like. Today, that's what it's about, but it motivated me to get this done sooner because of what Starbucks is going through and what they recently announced. You know, if there's ever an example of how you can look outside your profession to grab, you know, what famous companies do, what famous CEOs do, just forget famous, just what successful CEOs do, regardless of profession. There are so many foundational principles that apply no matter what type of business you own. Now, yeah, you've got to tweak them and know how to fit them here and there a lot of times, but the reality is they work. And today I wanted to get into the broadcast booth and do one for you on why I view the future of the practice the way I do, how it's already happening, it's an inevitable where it's going. Obviously, COVID kind of kicked it in its butt and kind of moved the whole process forward. But when Starbucks recently announced this, I'm going to get into what they announced today in this podcast. It just fits so much what we teach on this podcast, what we teach with New Patient Group, what we help people do with Right Chat, is how you have to function as an innovative business these days. Now, we obviously have podcast listeners here, the New Patient Group podcast, outside of healthcare, but the vast majority out there are doctors, office managers, employees, reps that help the practice environment. So I really wanted to paint this image today and wrap it around what Starbucks recently announced. I think you're really going to enjoy this. It's really going to put a perspective on the future. And also, most importantly, it's going to allow you to get ahead. And so many of our clients listening out there are already ahead. And it's why you actually had quite a bit of success, a lot of you, during the COVID situation. But the reality is you've always got to stay ahead, and that's not easy to do. It takes work. So we're going to wrap it around Starbucks today. We're going to have a good episode. Hope everyone's doing good out there. Check this podcast out over on our YouTube station. I'm broadcasting again from our brand new podcast studio and video production room. So if you want to take a look, make sure to listen to the podcast and also go check us out on YouTube to check out what the podcast studio looks like, okay? Hope everyone's doing great out there. Before we get started, let's fire up the music.
Welcome to the New Patient Group Podcast, where doctors, office managers, and other healthcare professionals learn how to thrive in today's competitive marketplace by mastering the business, consumer, and marketing aspects of the practice. If you want to make more money, dominate the competition, while working, spending, and stressing less, this podcast is for you. Now your host. He is the leading authority in the new era of practice growth, founder and CEO of New Patient Group, managing partner of Right Chat, speaker and consultant for Align Technology, the makers of Invisalign, author for the Benson Koppel Resource, international motivational speaker, business and life coach, Brian Wright.
Hey, everybody, welcome inside the broadcast booth. As I said at the top, good one for you today. Anytime I can take an outside of healthcare perspective and deliver it to all of the listeners out there, I believe it does you a lot of good because there are so many similarities. And at the same time, there are so many things that outside of healthcare successful companies do that are a business-to-consumer organization that makes so much sense. There are so many of those things that rarely are done inside most of the practices that are out there. So anytime we can find data or a very famous company like a Starbucks that is really innovating, moving the needle, and maybe they are growing like crazy today, but still have the innovation to go, you know what, we are still going to change and we are still going to stay 5-10 years ahead of where, in this case, all the other coffee shops might be out there and all the other choices people have when they're just thirsty or they want something for breakfast or whatever it might be. So it goes well beyond just coffee shops, right? It's all the other competition, per se, that people can spend their disposable income. It's why I'm excited about today, because I said at the top, I've been wanting to do a podcast for a while that really paints an image of the future. And the future can be scary for a lot of people because, you know, if you're a clinician, you went to school, you came out in a lot of debt, you went to school because your passion is to be a great clinician. And we have the utmost, whether myself personally, my company, New Patient Group, or Right Chat, we have the utmost respect for your clinical abilities and think it's absolutely fabulous, the skill set that you have. But a lot of people have that anxiety today and or frustration in the fact that the better CEO is defeating the better clinician. Let me paint a picture really quick in everybody's mind. Maybe this is the first time you've listened to the podcast or you haven't heard me tell this story, but I think it's even good for you listeners out there because for the most part, unless you're in complete denial, pretty much everybody agrees across the board the better business is defeating the better clinician these days. It's unfortunate. I think we all can agree with that, but it's the reality of what you deal with. And the more competitive your marketplace, the more that becomes true because the consumer always dictates a marketplace. A lot of people have especially clinicians, have a very difficult time hearing that because as a clinician, you need to be telling me, you need to be telling the consumer what they need to do. The reality of the situation is, in today's competitive marketplace, it's becoming less and less the case. The ones that succeed are the masters of the consumer, from A, of acquiring the consumer as a new patient, to Z, presenting money effectively in every step in between. Let me paint a picture here of what I mean by this and why the better business is defeating the better practice. As you get more competitive, and this is going to kind of set up where we're going today as well. As you get more competitive in a specific industry, it organically creates more shoppers for obvious reasons that we don't need to go into, all right? As you get more shoppers, you get more price inquiries. You get more insurance inquiries if you live in a profession where insurance is involved, like so many of you do in healthcare out there. You just get more, hey, tell me more about the first appointment. Let me know, hey, do you do Invisalign as an example? You know, the response they give on the phones. Internally, how you present money if you're lucky enough to get the person through the doors, every touch point along the way, all right? So let's say I'm shopping and I start calling around and I call three practices, all right? Now, practice A and B, because keep in mind, as a consumer, all right, they don't know what you know clinically. That is the foundation of really everything else you can think of. Is that the consumer does not understand what you understand and they do not value what you value. All right, so keep that in mind as I tell this story. All right, so the very first practice that I call, the clinician graduated tops in their class in the best dental school, orthodontic school, school for plastic surgery, whatever it might be. All right, they have the best, most finest credentials imaginable. All right. Keep that picture in your mind. Okay. They're the best clinician there is. All right. Now, I call that person. The receptionist is horrible. Okay. Can't answer my questions. Isn't trained. She drops the call. Clinician is back in the mouth or doing their thing. Has no idea that lost opportunity just happened. All right. I pick up. I call the second one. The clinician is really good as well. Maybe not at the level that the previous example A was, but they're really good. All right. Now, this clinician, the receptionist answers the phone and she's good. You know, she's good enough to get me in, answers my questions okay. And I schedule the appointment. Okay. Then, because I'm not completely convinced yet, and this, by the way, everybody, this isn't why I'm telling the story, but just because I'm on the topic. If you have new patient no-show issues, it's not the new patient, okay? I hear it all the time. Well, they're a bad patient or it's their fault. It's bad. It's not. It's your fault, okay? From a leadership standpoint and a training standpoint because you didn't get the receptionist the proper training in today's economy to put enough value and excitement on that appointment to get the person to show up, all right? It's the receptionist's fault, and then it's your fault as a leadership team for not creating a culture to where your receptionist is want to create so much excitement on the phone. That's how you have to look at it, all right? That's why fixing no-shows is so simple but requires change. But moving on back to the story. So I'm not convinced yet, okay? I pick up and I call the third. Now, the third, and this is because I've been in healthcare for 20 years now, and I've never to this day heard any practice we've ever worked with, nor will we, the clinician ever go, you know what, Brian? I'm just a crappy clinician. I just need to figure out a way to get better. Like I keep messing up my cases or I put in bad crowns or the materials we use are crap. I've never heard that in 20 years. Everyone we've ever worked with is, I am the best clinician in this community. And that's, you know, I'm glad they think that. But at some point, I'm sure we've worked with somebody that wasn't that good, okay? The problem is the consumer does not know it, all right? Until you sell them, they don't know it, if you're good or bad. So this third one that I call, let's say, worst clinician on the planet, all right? Whatever. graduated last in their class, is a slacker, you know, uses horrible materials, doesn't keep up with continuing ed, okay? I call them, the receptionist is fabulous, all right? I am so sold because of how passionate this girl is on how amazing she is, the team is, the technologies is, are, the clinician is, the overall experience. She just blows me away, okay? All right, I hang up the phone and I am sold, all right? I am sold. Let's say I still go to both places, right? The first place who had the best clinician, receptionist blew it. I'm not going there. The second place, the receptionist was okay, you know, the standard, she was nice. So I at least am going to now show up and I am going to test that place out internally, all right? So let's start there. This place, who has a really good clinician, remember, not as good as the first example, but they're still awesome. I get in there, I sit and I wait for whatever, 20 minutes past my appointment time. Or maybe they greet me right away and it's fantastic. But then I get to the end of the appointment and the person presenting money is clueless, can't overcome objections. A and B that she offered me doesn't work and she doesn't know how to go to C, D, E, and F and all the way through Z to make figure out a way to make it happen. Which, by the way, clinicians out there, whether it's a TC, an orthodontic practice, financial expert, whatever you want to call them, regardless of the practice you have, that's why they are priceless. If they are trained right, because the good ones, everybody can close A or B, right? You can get lucky and do that. It's the ones where A and B doesn't work, then C and D don't work, then E and F don't work, and then G and H don't work. It's that you go in a specific strategic pattern from what works best for you as a business all the way down to what works best for that actual consumer, all right? Because you always have to do what works best for you first. That's the definition, for those of you who listen, that's the first part definition of customer service. Very misunderstood term, okay? So back to the example. She blows or he blows the financial presentation, all right? Now, I go to the other appointment that I had scheduled with the horrible clinician, and boy, oh boy, they are amazing. The office is clean. The bathrooms are beautiful. The person greets me right away, makes me feel special. Makes me feel like a rock star and that I'm their only client, only patient in the world. Everything is wrapped around me. They scan me at that very first appointment with the iTero machine when the other two didn't. So they can give me this cool digital rendering of my smile, what it looks like at the end of treatment. They just make me feel so cool. The person at the end, the doctor was amazing, spent tons of time with me. I thought he or she was hilarious. The TC was great. The team really looked like they cared. The money, the person that presented money nailed it. And boom, I start with them. All right. And guess what? That is the example, because people purchase an experience, especially in a competitive marketplace with choices, especially in a competitive marketplace with choices where they don't understand what they're buying fully, like the person selling it, hence the clinician, etc. That is a perfect example of how the third practice won, because they are functioning as a better business. They obviously have a good culture, because otherwise the team would not be carrying out training like that. They obviously have a good team that's trained. They make me feel special. And on the digital marketing front, they showed up when I did a search. See, that's the piece of that story I didn't say. And that's the other piece that happens. If I go in and I start typing in, whatever, we'll use Invisalign as an example because it's the most entered search term in healthcare right now. So I type that in and three practices come up as an example. Well, the three that come up may be the worst three clinicians in the entire community. See, that's the other piece to it, is that if they have a full YouTube station built out, if they're making hilarious content, content that people are going to follow, even if they're not interested in dentistry, orthodontics, whatever it may be that you deliver. And the fourth, fifth, and sixth result that don't show on the first page, as an example, maybe the best three clinicians in existence, but they don't even get the phone call. They don't even get the inquiry. That's another way on digital marketing that the better business is defeating the better clinician. Now, in a perfect world, and this is what I believe our new patient group clients are, is you've got the best clinician, you've got the best clinical team, and you've got the best business. You've got the best marketing, the best consumerism, the best trained team, the best digital marketing, the whole package. Because the consumer deserves that. They don't deserve the best business with a bad clinical result. No, they deserve the best clinical and the best commercial experience. Now, that's the painted picture of what we live in. And by the way, it's only going to get, quote unquote, worse. The more competition, the more corporations, the more direct-to-consumer, the more the virtual console comes out, et cetera. And I didn't even talk about in the virtual console. If one of those phone calls, I was offered a very convenient new patient virtual consult, or, hey, look, come in. We have our in-house office experience, or we have our virtual experience. Here's what this looks like. Here's what this likes. Which do you prefer? Well, now you're customizing and you're allowing me to choose my experience. Instant increase in conversion. All right. We tell the story all the time. My wife picks the virtual all day long. I pick the in-house. You're wrapping your experience around what that person tells you. Here's the reality, because what you feel is an experience does not matter. We talk about that all the time. I got off a webinar earlier talking about it with a client, is that, you know, you may not like the virtual consult. You may not even think your patients want it. You may not think that you can convert it, or you've had not good conversion in the past. Well, the reality is it's not the virtual consult, it's you. You've got to learn how to do it better, streamline it better from point A to point Z, and you'll close it. I see all the time clients getting money right over the computer, getting them scheduled and actually physically showing up, getting the scan, whatever it might be, whatever industry you're in, to get started with treatment. Better business defeats the better clinician, especially in this new economy. It's going to keep on going. And all that comes back down to what I want to talk about today with Starbucks. So as COVID was going on, you know, we as a company are creating new content right now. You know, we're looking at our new patient experience and going, look, you know, we teach a few different ones. And we're looking at them. And we're going, okay, how do we adjust this in a post-COVID world? Doesn't mean that we're going to throw away what we have now, but how, in case, you know, a lot of these changes that are happening, they could be temporary. You know, people, it's amazing the short-term memories people have. You know, this all could go back to in 6 months from now, people may forget the whole thing, or it could be worse. None of us know. So you have to prepare for both. You can't sit around and wait, because unfortunately, that's what most people do. And I was on, for any of you who want to watch it, I was a guest on the In Your Face podcast a couple weeks ago. And great podcast. I suggest you check it out. And one of the things they asked me, you know, the COVID situation, things like that. And I had said, look, it's created pain for the business owner. And I always use the Invisalign lab bill out there when I give this example about pain. And that, you know, we hear so many people go, oh God, that lab bill, you know, it's killing me. Or how do I get it reduced? Or should I be worried about it? What is it going to do to my bottom line? And, you know, we have a whole program in teaching that shows them why it's profitable, shows them why they actually make more money because of it, things like that. But the point is that every time you do an Invisalign case, you feel the pain. It's on your mind. Like no matter how, even though the clinicians are totally bought into it being more efficient and more profitable, it's still on your mind when you see however many thousands pulled out of your bank account for the lab fee every month or whenever you pay it, right? It's on your mind. It's natural. We're humans. You see the money leave. What you don't see leave is Betty, the receptionist, make-believe name, dropping 10 new patients last month, or Susie, the TC, can't close the deal and dropped 7 starts last month. And a lot of practices out there, both happen. You know, you don't see the lost opportunities from your team not asking for referrals. If you did, there would be thousands of dollars taken out of your bank account every single month and lost opportunities. But because that doesn't happen, it's very difficult to create the pain in the mind of the business owner who doesn't actually know these lost opportunities are happening. Well, what COVID did, I explained, is it's created this pain for business owners. Now they're rushing to try to implement the virtual consult and all these changes. That is the mindset you have to have all the time, even when things are going great. Because when things are going great, and this is a big mistake people make with money, when things are going great, that's when you go get loans. People look at that and they go, and it's backwards. Like when you need a loan, things are going bad, and that's not the case. The ironic thing about it is when things are going bad, you don't have any money, you know, it's hard to get the money. So you've got to go out and get the money when things are great, all right? You find good interest rates and you're constantly looking for innovative ways to reinvest that to grow your business or pay yourself or whatever it might be. Pay off debt, whatever it is. So this mindset of constantly being ahead and changing is so, so critically important. And what Starbucks did, so Starbucks announced that they are shutting down approximately 400 stores to start with. Now there's been some other stories where it's going to be more in the future. Right now they are starting with 400 stores. Now, the question is why? All right, what Starbucks visions the future to be is more curbside pickup, ordering from an app, drive-through, things like that, delivery. The point of me bringing this up and wrapping around is you have a company that is the most successful, you know, coffee shop. They do a lot of other things internally as well on the planet. They're also a perfect example of nothing they have inside their doors is even that good. They're average at best, food to coffee to whatever. There are so many family-owned coffee shops that I love visiting family-owned places as I travel, and there are so many that are so far superior in their actual product. But it goes back to the better business defeating the better practice. It's not the product. It's the experience. It's all the other intangibles that come along with it that Starbucks just absolutely kicks everybody's butt. And it's those three pillars that we do under New Patient Group's roof is our services. It's what I teach all over the world. That Starbucks has an impeccable culture. They have unmatched trained employees. And their digital marketing is absolutely awesome. So those three pillars are why they're famous, okay? They're not famous because of other reasons. They're famous as an organic result of being awesome at those three things. Because as you hear us talk about so much, most companies are terrible at all three things. It's just the reality of the situation. It's such a unique opportunity to kick the competition's butt by being great at those three pillars. And they all fit together, tie, clarify a message. One can't exist without the other. A quick reason why, for those of you who don't listen very often, or this is your first time, is that you cannot have trained employees that execute how you want the training to be executed if your culture is not great. It won't happen. The second you turn your head, they won't do it, or there'll be a pain in the butt every time you want them to practice, etc. You cannot do digital marketing the way you have to do digital marketing to succeed today if your culture does not dictate a leadership culture, an organization where people want to show up every single day and will do whatever it takes to shoot the content necessary regardless of how they feel like they look on camera because they want to help the business. It all wraps back to culture. All right? The training, everything is intertwined to tell this story. That's why Starbucks, the other famous companies, dominate. Those are the reasons. It's literally that simple. So Starbucks announcing this, as successful as they are, what they're doing is they're looking into the distant future and they're saying, look, how do we keep and stay ahead of the game at all times? Do not allow, because Starbucks has the mentality I have with New Patient Group and that every single day you wake up pretending like, and it's not even have to pretend because it is, you never know who's out there wanting to do this, but you have to look in the mirror every day and say, look, there are people out there wanting to kick my butt. Take us down. Whatever they're going to do, they could lie about you. They could create something more innovative than you, a combination of everything. They are going to kick my butt. So I've got to wake up every day making sure that nobody has a chance of doing that because we're always going to be 5+ years ahead. And that is hard. It's hard enough being a clinician in the mouth all day managing your employees. It's very hard to be a CEO, but that is what you have to be. Entrepreneur, CEO, unlike ever before. So Starbucks has this vision of what the future is going to look like, all right? And what I teach all of you out there, clients and non, is that's how you have to be. You have to have the same mindset for your practice, your business, about what does tomorrow and 10 years from look like from now. Here's the reality. This drives me nuts when clinicians do this. Office managers do this too, drives me crazy. Is that they look to their employees to get their feedback on stuff when the employees, not all, but most employees, their business mindset goes as far as the next patient. That's where it stops. And honestly, that's what they're being paid to do. So you as an innovator of a CEO, a leadership team, you have to take this upon yourself. And that means change. It means work for your employees because they need to role play. It means work for you because you got to shoot digital marketing content. All of this stuff is required to succeed in this new economy. So Starbucks is sitting here on top of their game going, all right, we're going to change these 5-6 things. And there's other things as well. But the point of this is leads into the fact that is what we are doing for you as clients out there and for you as listeners out there and prospective clients out there is we as a company are constantly looking into the future. That could be tomorrow, it's a year from now, it's 5 years from now, and honestly, it's 10 years from now. And we take all of those things and we make sure that you do it today. Now, for some of you, it's a harder quote-unquote sell than others, and you see it with our clients. Like, there's clients that implemented our new patient virtual consultation and our existing patient virtual check-in, things like that. They implemented those things a year, 2 years ago. COVID hit, and now they've had some of their best months ever because they stayed ahead of the game. There's other ones out there that kind of piddle-paddled a little bit. They didn't feel the urgency to do it right away. Then COVID hits, and then guess what happens? is now they're rushing to implement it. Here's the problem, is you're doing it after the storm. You've got to constantly be doing it before the storm, which means there's a very important thing before I dive into the whole point here of the future of how we see it, is that you have got to block time to work in your business. We're going to be doing an upcoming podcast. It's going to be the difference between working in versus on your business. Guys, you've got to block more time to work on your business. You can't be in it all the time. I don't care if your excuse is, well, we're going to have nowhere to put patients. Look, the reality is you need to slow it down. You need to block time, and you need to work on yourself, your team, and your digital marketing, because basically everything fits into those categories, all right? Internal fits everything inside your doors. There isn't one thing inside your doors that goes on that doesn't fit under the umbrella of internal marketing. Your clinical abilities is internal marketing. You've got to block time for it. We're going to go into much more detail than that in the podcast, but just keep that on your mind. All right, because it goes back to the best businesses block the most time. They don't have the mentality of, well, when are we going to fit all this in or blah, blah, blah. We got to see more tables at a restaurant. We got to pack the house. See, the philosophies apply all. No. If you want a successful restaurant, and for the restaurants that I help grow, this is what we do, same way. You have at least 1 to 3 hours every week blocked to work on your business because you have to. How are the waiters ever going to get the proper verbiage skills to give people a great experience while selling them a higher priced bottle of wine, or increase your dessert sales 60% with very specific verbiage skills? You think that's just going to magically happen? You know, how do you think your TC is going to get better at presenting money and constantly improve their skill sets, or have time to do this or that or that, if you don't have block time in your practice? You fly to an event, come back. What are you going to do? How are you ever going to take what you learned and become great at it? It's not possible. So, looking at what Starbucks is doing ahead of when they actually need to do it. Starbucks would be just fine if they're not doing this. But they're not fine with being just fine. And we don't want you to be fine with just being fine. We don't want you to be happy, ooh, I grew 10% last year. No. We want you growing 20, 30%. And then when a COVID-type situation happens, we want you absolutely having your best years ever, because while everybody else tanks, you grow. And it requires that innovation. Here's what we're looking at in the future of the practice. It's inevitable. It's been happening now for quite some time, but it's going to be in a situation where it takes it to a whole nother level just quicker because of COVID. So for a long time, we've looked at the practice, and the most successful ones are the ones that are specializing in the outsource model. All right, that's where I want to start, is what the employee type situation looks like in the future. All right. I already see it with our new patient group clients. We have multiple ones that, you know, they're a $2 million a year practice, single location, and they only have a few employees. People look at me and they go, how in the heck is that even possible? Well, one, it's possible because they have committed to an all clear aligner business. Okay. Yes, there's occasional cases that come through that they may have to put braces or something else on, but they're an all clear aligner business. Now I'm talking about just on the orthodontist. I'm using this as an example. So obviously the GP's listening, plastic surgeons listening, you're going to have to take this and tweak my analogy here and think outside the box a little bit, because I can't give a specific example on how every one of our professions and our clients are doing it. So we're going to use the orthodontist, all right? So one, just doing clear aligners is an outsource model. There are so many things, using Invisalign as an example, that replaces the amount of employees you need, all right? The iTero scanner, the digital scan, replacing the need for goopy, nasty impressions and someone dealing with that. There's so many ways that that digitalizes your business. We have another podcast coming up about the mistakes people make when trying to digitalize their business, because so many people think a digitalized business is wrapped just around the clinical. It's not. It's basically how you take your business and your clinical and digitalize the whole process. But there are so many other ways that clear aligner companies, Invisalign especially, out there are becoming an outsourced partner, all right? Invisalign is a case, has been outsourced partner because they also help with your marketing. Because every single time someone types in Invisalign, that marketing is done for you by Invisalign, all right? So if you come up in the searches, hence pillar three of the three pillars, you now capitalize on the money Invisalign has invested on your behalf in order to be visible, all right? That's another source of, or another way that you can look at outsource your marketing, All right. Now, you have to show up in those search terms, of course, but it's another example of what a company like Invisalign does, helping you in your business grow. Another one, OrthoFi. Okay. OrthoFi, become a very big believer in, because this whole model that I look at in the future is bigger growth, more efficiency, less employees. All right. So OrthoFi is a company. If you're not familiar with them, you should reach out, take a look. If you are familiar with them, already use them, great, good for you. Here's an example of a company that can replace the need for one or two employees in your practice as far as insurance, billing, things like that, collections go. Because I see practices out there that pay an employee a ton of money to have to deal with all that stuff. Some practices pay multiple employees. And let me just, for those of you out there go, ooh, OrthoFi is expensive. Let me explain to you why they're not. Now, they're not perfect for everybody in every situation. I totally get it. What I'm giving you right now are examples on the outsourcing model that is the future. Less employees. And here's the other beauty of this. Okay, this is probably the biggest one. Forget cost, because with the OrthoFi, we'll use this as an example. I'm using make-believe numbers, but just go with me on this, okay? If you hire one employee, and let's say you pay them, whatever, $4,000 a month, and they're handling your insurance, billing, collections. That's their job responsibility, all right? And you're paying them $4,000 a month. Then you look at OrthoFi, and let's say, as an example, OrthoFi comes in $2,000 more a month. On the surface, what most business owners do is they go, wow, too expensive. It's way more than what I'm paying now. I'd rather just deal with the employee. All right. That's the surface. What the CEOs and the real innovators do is they go, okay, now for $6,000, I get to have less employees, less headaches, less need for W-2 problems, less need for HR, less need for training, repetitive training, ongoing training. And the list could go on of examples I give you. Now, just those four or five examples I just gave you automatically makes up for the $2,000 difference. Already, OrthoFi in this example becomes cheaper, even though on paper they're $2,000 more expensive, just because of the headaches that it removes. And the most important piece is you've got to find the right partners to outsource to, because you find an outsource partner that is going to do it better than any employee you're going to hire anyway. Okay, or you're going to have to invest so many hours of training that particular employee in order to hopefully get them to a point that your outsource partner is going to handle anyway. All right, so that is the point, that you have to look differently at the outsource model. Even if on paper sometimes it says $more, okay, you've got to look at all the other intangibles that come along with it and realize that's not necessarily the case. Okay, so, and again, I'm using OrthoFi as an example. This applies across the board. All right. So just what I just talked about with OrthoFi eliminates one or two employees from your organization. Now, if you're a bigger organization, obviously it would eliminate a lot more. Also, this is how I view the future of, because we're moving into virtual, which, by the way, what I'm about to say, if you don't already do it, you need to do it. Okay. You need to start monitoring your patients virtually that are in treatment. Another reason why clear aligners is, again, on the surface, Invisalign is an example. All that money coming out of your account. Maybe on the surface, dollar sign wise, wow, that's a lot. But if you start dealing in and looking into all the intangibles that come along with that, the fact that they're creating a brand that your practice doesn't have to create, okay? So people are shopping for Invisalign, now you come up, you piggyback off the money Invisalign's spending on your behalf. That's one. The digital scans of not needing a goopy impressions and someone managing that whole thing, all right? It's the digital workflow or part of the digital workflow, all right? So it's a replacing an employee there, or at least reducing some of the need that the employee has to do there, all right? Making them more efficient to spend time elsewhere. You know, you're looking at billing, collections, insurance, and you're having to have one or two employees that are dedicated to that, all right? Or maybe one full-time and another that helps out on that. So you can replace that and, again, get these partners in place that are going to do better than your employees are likely to do anyway. The other one is what I was getting at. If you don't do this, you've got to start monitoring your patients in treatment. And there's a lot of very good solutions out there, both that cost money and also ones that don't. I mean, there's plenty of clinicians that I know that monitor their patients like in clear aligners, and they're using FaceTime and just text and photos and things like that, and they get impeccable results. There's other great options out there, dental monitoring. Invisalign's got a good app. I think Invisalign knows this. They've got more work to do on theirs to perfect it, but they're innovators. They'll get there. All right. But you've got to start monitoring your patients and treatment. And here's what's going to happen. It's already happening. I see it in our clients' practices. Again, some of the ones that have $2 million. I mean, imagine a scenario where you're a single location. Now, you can have more. We have clients that have more than one location as well that use the same model. But I'm just going to use a single as an example. You've got a single location, and it's doing $2 million a year in revenue. $2 million. And you have a TC. You have an assistant, you have a concierge, and that's all you have, all right? Because follow me, that practice, as an example, they have OrthoFi, all right? So they eliminated 1 to 2 employees there, all right? They do about 80-85% now share to share with Invisalign, and they mix in some other clear aligners, but Invisalign's the vast majority of it, okay? So they've got the partnership there. No goopy impressions, makes the job and the assistants easier. They can see more people. And why they only have one assistant, and here's what happens with this, is that the other assistant is 1099, and that leads me into what I view the future of the assistant looking like. So I believe that in the future, because the virtual treatment, everybody, it's here to stay. If you're a listener and it freaks you out, you don't want to do it, look, you've got to find a way to understand that how you feel about it, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is how the consumer feels about it. It's it. You are a business-to-consumer organization functioning in a very competitive marketplace, so you've got to understand that philosophy. The consumer dictates a competitive marketplace. It's just reality of what we live in. So as you move more and more patients to monitor them, now obviously, you know, you've got to put on an attachment, take an attachment off, whatever it might be. Of course, there are situations where people have got to come to the office. So I'm not saying you do 100% of it, but there are the majority of clear aligner appointments that can be done and monitored virtually, which is how this practice does it. And it's also how plenty of our other practices do it. And I believe this is the future, is assistants being 1099. They're no longer W-2 full-time employees. Now, you might have to have one, you know, because there are attachments on other situations, emergencies, whatever it might be. So I do believe that maybe for the, especially short-term, but even long-term in the future, you're still going to need one full-time. Again, single practice example I'm giving. Multiply the numbers the bigger you are. But all the other assistants are monitoring treatment virtually from home. They might even work for 5 or 6 different practices. Mind if you're an assistant, listen to this. This is the way you're going to be able to make more money, is that you offer a 1099 service and you work from home and you learn the clinician skill set or the, you know, their mindset, how they want treatment to come out, their ins and outs, their A's and B's, things like that. Now you're monitoring and helping monitor that treatment virtually. Okay. Again, that's a 1099, not a W-2. Eliminates a lot of headaches. They can come and go as they please. If you have trouble with them, there's no issues saying, hey, look, your job's done. You don't get unemployment. You don't have to deal with all that crap. It makes the life so much easier for you. And in many ways, it makes it easier for the 1099 as well. So you've got billing and insurance collections outsourced to somebody that is likely to do it better than what your employees are ever going to do. They're going to be more dedicated. There's a company that it's run well, holds their people accountable to the highest standards. You've got that. You've got the virtual assistant to reduce the amount of full-time employees that you need. You've got nasty, goopy impressions, the materials, people, you know, in there. And that's the other piece is outsourcing the retainers. And I get this is a sticky situation. This is a podcast on its own. Look, I know the convenience of in-house retainers. I know the benefits of all of that. So I'm not saying this like I don't. But the point is you still need employees to do it. Those don't magically make themselves. So when you outsource, again, digital scan, and you outsource to Invisalign as an example, and they pop some nice solid Vivera retainers, again, the on the surface cost and the on the surface view of it may seem more expensive or not as efficient, when it's actually, if you look in depth and you go deeper in, it's actually more efficient. Eliminates the amount of people you need, makes them more efficient, things like that. And this leads into the next one. And that is no front desk. And when I say no front desk, all right, I mean no front desk, meaning not only is there no person sitting up there, but there is no desk. It's very open when you walk in. There is no barrier. You walk into something that does not feel like a healthcare practice at all, feels like an Apple store, which, by the way, if I was building a healthcare practice today, it would look exactly like an Apple store to a T, obviously with my own little spin on it. That $2 million practice, let's use that as an example again. They are about to go to the model that I'm talking about with the front desk, meaning the concierge that they have up there, they're about to dismiss that employee. They've gotten to the point where they're going to be a $2 million practice, and they are going to have two, count them, two full-time employees. Their profitability is nuts. Their headaches are virtually nothing. We've worked with them now for about 3 years as a company, and they've gone from a $1 to a $2 million organization in 3 years. Their Invisalign numbers, overall growth has just gone through the roof, while reducing the headaches, streamlining the processes to the point where everyone just has so much fun in there. So imagine a situation where you walk in and you've got no front desk at all. You've got it scheduled in a way that, which I'm going to talk about scheduling here in a momentarily and the future of that, is you've got people walking in, you've got the TC ready to go to greet that new patient. You give them a great patient experience, however you do that, through a client of ours, how we teach it. Streamline the whole thing. You don't need anybody else involved in that new patient experience. That TC can scan them. They can do the exam. The doctor walks in. TC then presents the money. Streamline it in a way. Close them right there. Get their money same day. Blow them away with an amazing over-the-top experience that just wows them every step of the way. Meanwhile, your one assistant is back seeing the patients they need to see. Doctor comes in, does the new patient exam, gets back chair side as needed. Meanwhile, you've got the majority of your patients being monitored in treatment virtually. So you've got your 1099 assistant working from the house, doing that via computer, communicating with you virtually. You've got a company handling all your billing collection needs for you, also giving you more streamlined procedures in order to get more same-day starts. And now you don't have a front desk, and you say, well, how's that possible? Well, it's two scenarios. So we created a company, RightChat, and I did this because a small business, now this goes all the way to the top corporations. It's a major problem for everybody, all right? But if your practice does $10 million a year, you're a big operation, you can afford more lost opportunities. Now, you shouldn't. You should still capture them, but you're not going to feel the lost opportunities the way a smaller 1, 2, 3 size, location practice is, or business, plumber, flower shop, restaurant, whatever it might be. So we created RightChat, and it's, you know, it's very difficult to launch the company correctly because there's a lot of training, where we've now become the virtual receptionist. You don't need a phone anymore. We are your phones. We answer it as if we're sitting inside your practice. I created this company as well, along with a couple other managing partners, because we see the future. See, everything I'm talking about are things that we're starting to mold and put into our practices because this is where it's going. So RightChat answers the phones. They're trained by me. They're my employees. They're employees of RightChat. And they are going to answer the phones as if they're sitting at your front desk. The deal is one, they're going to be trained unbelievably on all the things that we train and we're very well known for throughout the whole practice. They are going to do it at a much higher level than your employees. And I don't mean that in a mean way, but if you commit as a business owner, the only way that your employees are going to do it better than mine is if you train them 1 to 3 hours a week, every week for the rest of your life. And that is not going to happen with most business owners. And that's the other part with the outsourcing. See, if you outsource this stuff, now you have to worry about, look, RightChat has to worry about scaling with you. OrthoFi has to worry about scaling with you. Whatever, dental monitoring, Invisalign's app, SmileSnap, whatever you, they have to worry about growing when you grow. you don't have to worry about it because you have all the partners in place. I mean, what are you going to do? Go from a $1 to a $2 million practice and hire five more people? It doesn't make sense. You'll be doing that the rest of your life. You go from a two to three, hire more. Next thing you know, you've got a team of 20. When you only need a team of few. Because the reality is your outsource partners are your team. That's the key. Like with New Patient Group, we tell everybody, we are not a consultant. We're lumped into the category. We always will be. But we are your team. You have access to me with my mastermind group. You have access to our coaches. And if I'm not coaching your practice, one of our other great VIP coaches is, you still get access to me. I'm still a part of it. If you're a digital marketing client, you have my director, you know, you have our director of marketing, Haley Shaw, on there, assigned to your practice. It's insane personal attention, and it's an executive level team that is specializes in growing successful companies, partnered with your business to make sure you strive to thrive all the time. So whether it's us, OrthoFi, Invisalign, the front desk with RightChat, and the other way, let's just say, is it's not even a plug for RightChat. Like, I think it's awesome that we can replace the need for you to have a phone. And we handle it to where your full attention is, one, we're going to convert at a higher level, and we're going to set your people up to come in to buy day one. That means whenever they walk in, then you're going to have a much more focused attention to continue that story of excellence when you greet them up front. But it's not about RightChat. That's an example of another outsource opportunity. But you can even have your phones being answered, but do it from home. They don't need to come in. Do it somewhere offsite or somewhere in the back where no one bothers them, in a little call center, and that's their job, and their job only is being great at the phones. So, so important, because the phones are such a huge lost opportunity. And that's what I was getting. We had doctors that heard me speak, you know, have bought our on-demand phone training, have been a part of our program, still are, whatever it might be, beg us to open a company like RightChat, because they know how much the phones impact the bottom line of their business. And it's so such a challenge to ever train your own people at a level that's ever going to get them great enough to move the needle forward in a competitive marketplace. It's just the reality. But you can still outsource your phones to somebody, even if it's a full-time employee. Just get them out of the front. There's no need to have a front. It is a waste of time. Now, in this COVID world, it's becoming even less, because people are waiting in their cars more. If they come in, there's only a couple people allowed up front to sit in a chair, whatever it might be. And this all leads into the scheduling piece. The future of scheduling is on demand, all right? This totally flips everything that consultants have taught forever on its head, which is why you've got to stay ahead. 5 years ago, we started looking at this and going, you know what? When people schedule, the normal way it's always been is, you know, you schedule. You schedule in the, you know, a lot of times if you're in a dental practice, you schedule in the chair in the back. You schedule on the way out. Orthodontic practice, same way. Now it's going to be where you leave without an appointment. And people go, Brian, what are you talking about? Leave without an appointment. Well, it's on-demand scheduling. You are monitoring the majority of your patients that are in treatment. You are monitoring them virtually. Now, depending on what type of practice you have, it may or may not work as well. Clear aligners, it works great. You become even more profitable because you reduce the amount of appointments and chairs they're going to be taken up. So your profitability goes up even more. We're starting to do that profitability study with clear aligners right now. Look, you know, already with clear aligners, the chair, you know, the chair time is far less than braces. Well, what if the amount of chair time that's been calculated in that, what if you cut that another 50%? Wow, profitability way up, obviously. Because we're looking at a situation where those patients are monitored virtually, you're communicating with them virtually. It's also a fabulous way to sell them on becoming a patient to begin with. And there's a big misunderstanding. Like Smile Direct Club is an example. People are paying for the convenience. And people will pay more for convenience, by the way. We get all the time, well, if they only have to come five times instead of 10 throughout their treatment, aren't they going to want a cheaper price? And no, it's just the opposite. You could even make it sound exclusive. You know, Mr. Wright, we've got our VIP club here, and you know they use an exclusive technology we have, and it allows about 50% sometimes upwards of 70% fewer appointments. That is an extra $500 with your treatment. A lot of people love that option. It certainly makes it more convenient. Would you like to go with that or this other option? Which do you prefer? People will pay for it. I'm not telling you to charge for it, but we do have clients that do, and they people pay for it. Because of course, if I get to come in 10 times less throughout my treatment and it costs me $500 more to do it, I'm all aboard. People inside the practice have this mindset that fewer appointments means cheaper price to the consumer. It's not what the consumer's thinking at all. They're thinking just the opposite. It's another disconnect between consumer mindset, clinical mindset, or people in the clinical environment mindset. So as you monitor more and more treatment, that's when you need less and less full-time assistance. You can 1099 and outsource it. People can help you monitor that. And back to the on-demand scheduling is as you monitor this treatment virtually, that's the beauty. You're communicating virtually. You may, hey, look, Joey, you know, not tracking properly. We need to get you in here. Boom, boom. Call and get an appointment. Or click this link, because there's a lot of on-demand scheduling links. Just click this link, fill out when you want to come in, and we'll see you. You need to come in the next 2 weeks or less. Boom, done. All virtual. No outbound calls, which is a big time suck as well. You're reducing those calls. If you're not having to deal with collections as much because you've outsourced that, now they're dealing with all that. And this is this virtual environment where it's all headed. And the beauty part of all of it is, you know who benefits? The patient. Because if they call your practice, let's use a right chat example. My people are going to blow them away that they've called a healthcare practice. They are going to be so amazed at that experience. If you have to get billing, collections, you don't have to worry about it. The nasty, goopy impressions, no, you're digitally outsourcing them. You don't have to make in-house retainers. You're outsourcing them. Like, who benefits? When that patient comes into your practice, your full attention is going to be on them. There's going to be no distractions that keep you from closing them or giving them the experience that is needed today. And even though these are only a relatively few examples of many more we can discuss depending on the type of practice you are, this is the future. And this is how, whether it scares you or not, this is how you've got to look at your business all the time going, what can I do to get better? And yeah, that takes work. It's not easy. It's not easy looking in the mirror or looking at your employees. It's not easy. But the reality is, that's why these three pillars work so well no matter what situation you're in, because most people won't do it. Most people, are you kidding? I mean, if you're building a healthcare practice today, how many people do you think would leave out a front desk? Not many, which is why you should. How many coffee shops that are as popular as Starbucks right now would be going, we're shutting down stores in order to focus on this new consumer, new economy model? Not many. It's why they're Starbucks. You have to constantly be looking at the inner circles of your practice, because the reality is that the vast majority of it have nothing to do with anything clinical at all. Feels like it. But how Starbucks is innovating and looking at the future, and how we are doing that and starting to create on-demand courses and change our new patient experience in this whole new model. It's scary for a lot of people. Change is hard. Our brains are actually designed to protect us from harm. Change is harm in a lot of ways. So the reality is people avoid change because it's uncomfortable. I get it. But you've got to start looking in an innovative way. And if you do, because I didn't even talk about, you know, the new patient virtual consult today, a whole nother podcast in itself. We're building an on-demand course right now from A to Z, how you market it, how you close it, everywhere in between. But that's the other piece where it's changing, is you're going to be able to see way more new patients than you otherwise would, because you can have a TC on a virtual new patient appointment. You can have a doctor inside dealing with the patient. If you time it out right, boom, two new patients at once. If you're a larger organization and you have two or three TCs, well, now you can see two or three new patients at once virtually, and you can see one in-house at the same time if you schedule it right. See, all of these things are things that you've got to jump on, but if you don't have time blocked every week to work on your business, study it, role play it, practice it, improve it, fix it, it's not going to happen. This is going to be a pipe dream that you just go, ah, yeah, sounds good, and then nothing happens, sits on the shelf, all right? So that is the future of the practice in my mind, in new patient groups' mind. Now, obviously, We're not there yet. If you don't do this tomorrow, you're not going to die. But the reality is like YouTube is the new Google. You know, if you don't do YouTube marketing tomorrow, you're not going to go out of business. But in 5 years, you will, because you will not be seen on Google anymore. They're all intertwined, the search terms. And it's going to become more and more as we move towards a video-based world, more and more like that. You see us talk about that. So that's innovation. You have a choice. Just because it's not going to hurt you necessarily tomorrow doesn't mean you don't do it tomorrow. And that is why I'm so proud. All the new Pace Group clients, listen, I'm so proud of you. Right Chat clients as well, because you're doing all these. You're the beauty of all these things too, like YouTube. They help you today. They will significantly grow you today. But the ultimate investment will not truly pay off for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But you're all doing it. You're all committing to it, and your competition isn't. And it's why I'm so proud of you, and it's why you grow at the levels you do. So I wanted to give that shout out to the new Patient Group clients, and then the ones with Right Chat that dove in. You say, look, I want my phones answered in a professional way, in a way that people are going to answer them every time they call, allow my front desk, if I still have one, to focus internally 100% on the patients inside the practice. Props to you. But take all of this. Take this lesson that Starbucks, a very successful company that's still in major growth mode, that and what they're doing is still innovating and staying ahead. And that is what you must do in this new economy. All right. Thanks for listening today. Looking forward to speaking with all of you again. Next podcast, I'll kind of announce some upcoming events that we were going to be speaking around the country. Now they're made virtual. Working on some great new things with Invisalign, some other companies out there as well. And recently signed, proud to announce, I'm now a speaker for Propel Orthodontics. So they brought me aboard as a speaker. So our message is resonating. We're growing like crazy. But the one thing I'm very proud of with this company, and you know, there's you never know what people are talking about, but we're obsessed with relationships, with reputation. We're obsessed with it. It makes my stomach churn anytime I think we're not making somebody millions of dollars. We're obsessed with it, all right? And the one thing that we will never lose as a company, ever, is the personal attention, the customization. What makes us so unique, we will never lose that. That's my word to all of you out there. Because that is why we have fans and not clients. Because people feel that we're a part of their team. And that's very unique in this profession. Very unique in this profession. Thanks so much, everybody out there, to the loyal listeners, to the new Patient Group and Right Chat clients. Thanks for listening today. Hope this will kind of motivate you on what to do, what the future looks like, and how you can look outside your profession at very successful companies and grab that mindset to help you grow in this new economy. Thanks so much. We'll talk to everybody soon. Bye-bye.